Nesechtes Baba Kama, Daphnun Ches, 9 lines from the bottom of Daphnun Zayin Beis, and the Gemara quotes from Mishnah, Nafalul Gina, if the Tzayin of Ruvain is walking in an area that's higher than the garden of Shimon, and it falls into the garden, Vinenis, and it has Ana, Mishalemis Mashanenis, Ruvain is responsible to pay based on Ana that his animal had. And Rashi and our Mishnah explain, Nafalul Gina, Ba'inis, Migag Baila, Samach Lagina Chaveroi, either that the animal fell Ba'inis from the rooftop of his owner, which was close to the Gina and higher than the garden of his friend, Aisha. Or was walking in Rishis Rabim, and Rishis Rabim was higher than the garden of Shimon, and Reuven's animal fell into Shimon's garden. And Rashi explained, Mashin Enes, Lefi Han Asa, Veloy Lefi Azeka, and Rashi on Daf Yud Tesem Bei states, Mishalemis Mashin Enes, Laf Tashlum Malyaninu, and of course, this is not considered a full payment. And the Gemara in Daf Chafam Nalaf brings a machlekes between Rabba and Rabba. Rabba says, Demei Omer, and Rabba says, Demei Serin Bezoil. And basically, even though Reuven's animal caused $100 of damage to Shimon's tefuah, we are only mechayiv to Reuven should pay the amount of hanah that Reuven actually had, and Reuven had hanah that he doesn't have to feed his animal for this meal, and therefore Rabba holds that since Reuven would generally feed his animal straw and stubble, therefore he would have to pay him based on the value of one suda of straw and stubble, which for example might only be a few dollars. And Rabba says that even though Reuven generally would feed his animal straw and stubble, but certainly if Reuven would find a cheap price for barley, then he would serve his animal barley, and therefore, he would have to pay based on the price of barley that is bought wholesale. And of course, that would be more than the cost of straw and stubble, but it would be a lot less than the cost of regular payrice. And our Gemara begins, Amar Rav. Rav said one word, and he said, Benechpeta. The Gemara's havmin is that Rav meant to say that the only time that Reuven will be chayav to pay mashinenis is only when the animal damaged the produce of Shimon by falling on the produce, and the produce actually pierced its fall, and that was the hanah that Reuven's animal had from the payrice of Shimon. And the Gemara is now medayik, aval ochla afilu mashinenes in mashlemes. It's mashma for Rav that the only time that Reuven is chayiv to pay mashinenes is only benechpeta. But if Reuven's animal would have fallen into the garden of Shimon and then would have eaten the pears that were in Shimon's garden, then Reuven would actually not even be chayiv to pay mashinenes. As Rashi says, bitmiyah, that of course the Gemara is bothered that how could it be that if the animal of Reuven actually ate the pears of Shimon, that Reuven would be patal gamri. And the Gemara therefore says, leim Rav l'tamei, would we say that Rav is going l'shitasa? As the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph taught us that if Reuven brought his peiros into the chutz of Shimon, Shaloi Birshus, and then Reuven's animal gets damaged through the peiros of Reuven, then Reuven will be chayiv. And Rav explained on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis that the only time that the Mishnah said that Reuven will be chayiv is only when Shimon's animal slipped on the peiros of Reuven. However, the way that Shimon's behemoth got damaged is because it ate too much of these peiros and therefore it got sick. Then Rav teaches us that Reuven will be pata, and as the Gemara now says, the Om Rav, as Rav said, that the behemoth of Shimon should not have eaten the pears of Reuven, and therefore Reuven's pata. Therefore, as Rashi says, nami omar bala nafla, and maybe that's why Rav says in our Mishnah as well that since when the animal went into this garden, it went down ba'inis as it fell into the garden, and as Rashi says in the last line of Amid, and now that it ate, the owner of the animal could say that it shouldn't have eaten, and I had no control over it, and therefore I should be pata legamri, and I wouldn't even have to pay mashinenis. The Gemara says that certainly we can't explain our Mishnah like that because Amri, Hachi Hashta, of course there's a difference between our Mishnah and the Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin. It's Eimed Amri Rav, Hossam, Hoyla Shloi Teichal. Rav only said a Svara of Hoyla Shloi Teichal in the case on Daf Mem Zayin Beis, Hecha the Issagahi, where the animal was damaged by eating too much. As the Matzi Amalei murdered the Peri, as the owner of the Peris could say to the Balapara, Loi Mishalman, I'm not going to pay you, as Havla Shloi Teichal, as your animal shouldn't have eaten. And as Tesis actually points out in the Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin, that the hezek that occurred to the animal was through the animal's own maisa, therefore the owner of the peiros certainly should be pata. However, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case where the animal damaged the peiros of Shimon, and lazuke hi achrini the petir l'shlume mi'ama, that certainly we can't use the svara of hoyla shloi teichal in order to pata the owner of the animal for going and eating the peiros of Shimon, and therefore it doesn't make sense that Rav would say that the only time that we said in the Mishnah that yimishalemes mashananis is only benechbata. However, if the animal would have eaten the peiros of Shimon, then the owner of the animal that fell into the garden would be Patel Lagamri, and therefore the Gemara changes its understanding as to what Rav said, and the Gemara explains Ella, and we continue on Daf Nun Chesem Nalf, Loi Mi Bayi Kama, that Rav was saying in a lashon of Loi Mi Bayi, that Loi Mi Bayi Achlad Mishalemes Mishanenes, that certainly in the case where Reuven's animal fell into the garden, and then Reuven's animal ate the peiros of Shimon, then certainly Reuven's going to be chayiv to pay Mashanenes, and as Rashi says at the top of the Amid, Loi Mi Bayi Achlad Mishalemes, Mia Mashanenes, Avagab Loi Pasha B'Shmirasa, and even even though Reuven was not Peshea in guarding its animal as it fell into the garden of Shimon, to Hananus, but Lemaisa he had Anah, and therefore Reuven going to be Chayiv. And Rav's actual Chiddush was that Reuven will still be Chayiv to pay Mashananus, even in a case where Reuven's animal did not eat the Peiros of Shimon, but instead he fell on the Peiros of Shimon, and that is how he caused Hezek to the Peiros of Shimon. And as the Gemara states, Abba Nechbeta, but in the case where Reuven's animal fell on the Peiros of Shimon, and as Rashi says, Afilu Bahi Hazeka Anusa Havoi, and even at the time that he was Mazik Shimon's Peiros, Reuven's animal was an Oinus, as he just fell on the Peiros of Shimon. Maybe we compare this case to a case where Shimon goes and chases away a lion from damaging the nechasim of his friend, and we know over there that Reuven is not going to be chayiv to pay Shimon, and therefore over here also Reuven should not be chayiv to pay Shimon for the damages that his animal caused to Shimon when he fell on his produce. And as Rashi says, because he was matzlis behemis chaveri shlo nechbeder b'kaka, because l'maisa Shimon helped Reuven by making sure that his animal did not get damaged, or mitzvahu da'ovid umidu le'lishkal, and since he did a mitzvah, therefore he should not get paid anything, and he shouldn't even get paid mashinenis. Rashi mentions that Shimon's performing a mitzvah, and what mitzvah is Rashi referring to? And Rashbam Maseches Bava Basra points out that the case of Mavri Achari is l'mazeh deima l'meisha aveda, that is similar to someone that's performing hashavas aveda, the chol yisrael mitzvahin l'hatzel mamun chavreim min ahezek. And Rav therefore teaches us kamash milan that you're still going to be chayiv mashinenis, and we don't consider this a case of Mavri Achari min chaveri. And the Gemara is v'im hachinami, and maybe Reuven should be potter, and we should consider the case of Mavri Achari min chaveri. And the Gemara answers what seems to be two different terutzim, but Ayin and Taisus who says that they're actually one teretz, and the only way Reuven would be chayiv is only if you have both of these elements. And the Gemara explains, number one, Mavri Achari min chaveri midaitu, that the case of Mavri Achari min chaveri is when Shimon goes with his intent to help his friend, he saves the peiros of his friend from an ari, and therefore we could say that he intended to do a mitzvah, and therefore he shouldn't get paid for his efforts. However, in our case, we're talking about a scenario where Reuven's animal just fell into the gina of Shimon, and without asking Shimon, and without Shimon having any choice, Reuven's animal fell onto the peiros of Shimon and damaged the peiros of Shimon. Inami, in the second teretz, is in the standard case of Mavri Achari, the person is saving his friend from this lion, but he doesn't have to expend any money. That's why the person who had a nod doesn't have to pay. In our case, we're talking about a scenario where Shimon actually had a loss of money as Reuven's animal fell on his peiros and damaged his peiros, and therefore Reuven has to pay mashinenis. And I in the top Taisus six lines from where it gets smaller, and after Taisus brings a proof, Taisus states v'kimin ikatati shloim midaiti v'islay pseida. Since in our case we meet both criteria, as number one it was shloim midaiti of Shimon, and number two Shimon had a loss of money lechashim mavri achari, therefore it's not considered mavri achari. Avul Taisus says midaiti afilu islay pseida or shloim midaiti v'leslay pseida chashim mavri achari ve'in islay afilu schari. Then in that case it would actually be a case of mavri achari, and Reuven would be patal gamri and wouldn't even have to pay mashinenis. Keep in mind that we explained how Reuven would pay mashinenis when his animal eats from the peiros of Shimon. Shitma Kubetzis brings down that the same would apply in the case that the animal fell on the peiros of Shimon and damaged the peiros of Shimon. The mishalin kafi mashinenis kashir sh'im hayoteven hayinaisim ba poshet oishnayim lahosim tachtel latzilim r'asa. The Reuven doesn't have to pay Shimon for the actual peiros that were on the ground that saved the animal and cushioned its fall, and instead he would pay for the price of Tevin, as if Reuven spread enough Tevin underneath the animal in order to cushion its fall. That is the method to calculate the share of Mashinenis in the case of Nechbeta. And the Gemara continues that we said that Reuven's animal fell into the Gina of Shimon. And the Gemara asks, Hechi Nafal, how did Reuven's animal fall into the Gina? Rav Kana Amar, Rav Kana states, Shehoklub Meimer Glau, that slipped on its own Meimer Glaim. And as Rashi says, the Oinsel Solka Daitehu, and therefore Reuven is going to be Pata, as Reuven was an Oinus. And the Rambam adds in that it doesn't have to be Dafka, it's Meiriglayim, and even if it slipped on anything else, for example, like a stone, then Reuven would still be Pata, because that's also an Oinus. However, from Rashi, it's Mashma, that it's only in the case of Insuli Salka Daite, which seems to be a case where Reuven's animal slipped on its own Meiriglayim. And the Gemara continues, Rava Amma, however, Rava explains, Shadach Vesechav Rasa, that the way that Reuven's animal fell into the Gina is because it was walking next to another animal that was potentially even owned by the same owner, and Reuven was walking with two of his animals, and one of his animals pushed the other animal into the Gina of Shimon, and that is also considered an Oinus. And the Gemara explains, Manda Amma Shadach Vesechav Rasa, according to Rava, that holds that Reuven's animal was pushed into the Gina, Kolshkin Shochel Meir Aglau, then certainly in a case where it slipped on its own Meir Aglaim, and certainly it was Lois Salka Adaite, and therefore certainly that's a case of Oinus. However, Manda Amma Shochel Meir Aglau, according to Rav Kahana, that says the scenario was Reuven's animal fell into the gina by slipping on its own meir glayim. Aval dachvasa chavrasa pshiyahu umishalemis mashazika. In the case where another animal pushed Reuven's animal into the gina, that would be a case of pshia, and Reuven would have to pay mashazika to amalei, because Shimon will say to Reuven, ibaylcha avuri chadachada, that you should have guarded your animals better, and you should have made sure that they walk single file through the rishus rabbim. And since you allowed them to walk double file through the rishus rabbim, it's considered that you are pesheya, and therefore Reuven is going to be chayev mashia zeka. It's interesting to note that Rashi and our Mishnah gave two examples as to how Reuven's animal fell into the gina of his friend, and over here Rashi says shehuchlu b'mei raglah mirishus rabbim lagina, and Rashi doesn't give the second example, and it could be that the Gemara's question of how did it fall is only in the case where it fell from rishus rabbim to gina, but if it would have fallen from Reuven's gag onto the gina, that was not a shayla, and any way that falls, that would be considered einis v'tzarech bia. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Kahana, another member from Rav Kahana, Loishano ba'isaruga, the only time that we said Reuven would pay mashinenis is only when the animal fell into the gina of Shimon, and then it ate from this road that it fell into, and therefore Reuven will only have to pay mashinenis. And as Rashi says, sha'achlo miyad ba'isaruga shenaflasham, that immediately ate in that aruga that it fell into, the kim dan nusi b'nefila, since it was einis when it fell into the garden, anusi hinami b'achilasa, is also considered einis when it eats from the tfuah of Shimon, the kim de chazal tfuah tutah, as since it saw a tfuah that was under it, loy mukba nafsha, that certainly this animal cannot withhold from eating the pears, and since it happened so quickly, therefore it was impossible for Reuven to get the animal out of the garden of Shimon. However, as Rav Kahana continues, av meruga leruga meshalem es mashezeka. However, if this animal goes from one row to another row, then Reuven would not only be chayim mashinenes, but he would be chayim mashezeka. It seems from Rashi that when Rav Kahana said meruga leruga meshalem es mashezeka, he doesn't only mean that if he went from one row to another, but even if he actually was in this area for a longer period of time, and Reuven would have had the ability to take his animal out of the garden of Shimon, then Reuven will not pay mashinenes, and I'll have to pay mashe hazeka. However, other Rishonim clearly state that Rav Kahana is being mechadish to us, that even if Reuven could have taken his animal out of the garden of Shimon, Reuven would only have to pay mashinenes as long as he's still eating in the same road that he fell into, and the same basic area of where he actually fell into. However, since Reuven could have taken the animal out of the garden, and now it goes to a different aruga, then at that point, Reuven is not going to be chayiv to pay only mashinenes, and he'll have to pay mashezeka. And this is the shita of Taisis, as Taisis at the bottom of Amid states, Leishano ba'isaruga, the kivan shetchilas din filasa ba'isaruga ba'inis, since the original falling into that row was an inis, in a chayiv la'loisa ba'isaruga, therefore Reuven doesn't have any responsibility to take his animal out of that aruga, ava meruga laruga, havi kistei acha, but from one aruga to another aruga, it's considered as if his animal went into another sada of Shimon, therefore it would fit into the category of a Mishnah of Yartika Daka Vezika, that Mishalem is Masha Zeka, that certainly at that point Reuven be chayiv to pay Masha Zeka, and not only Masha Nenis. And Rush explains this even further, that since the Pasuk says Vishilchas Be'ira, and then it says Ubiya Besteacha, the only time Reuven is chayiv Masha Zeka, only if his animal went into the area and it was a Pshia that it went into that area, and also an Ape Pshia, but over here, since it fell into the area and it was an Anus when it got into this area, therefore the Xeris HaKosav teaches us that Reuven will never be chayiv Masha Zeka as long as he's staying in that Sada, but once he goes into another aruga and it's considered another field, therefore it's considered that he was shvilich aspira will be able to stay acher, and now Reuven is going to be chayiv mashe hazeka. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yechon Amar, and Rabbi Yechon argues on Rav Kahana, and he says, afilu meruga laruga vafilu kol yon kulay atcha teitzah v'tachsa l'das, Reuven will only be chayiv mashe nenes even if the animal stays in the Sada and goes from one row to another, and even if he stays there the entire day, and even if Reuven had the opportunity to take his animal out of the Sada, as Rabbi Yechon looks at the entire Sada as one maisa of ubiya b'steacher, and since Reuven's animal fell into the gina of Shimon and he only went in ba'inis, therefore at any time that he eats from the sada, Reuven will be chayiv only to pay mashinenes and not mashinezeka. And of course, according to the Rush, this makes a lot of sense since the pasuk says b'shilchus b'ira ubiya b'steacher, and Reuven's animal is still in the same sada that he fell into ba'inis. However, Rabbi Yechon also stated that Reuven will be chayiv to pay mashinezeka once the animal leaves the rishus of Shimon, and then the animal re-enters the rishus of Shimon, and it was ladas, meaning that the owner had knowledge. And the Gemara now will explain what exactly Rabbi Yechon meant when he said "Achetetz v'tachs ladas." And Rabbi Papa loy tima achetetz ladas v'tachs ladas. We shouldn't say that the only time Reuven is chayiv to pay mashezeka is only when the animal went out and Reuven knew about it that time, and then also it went back in ladas of Reuven because Reuven was leinol b'fenei karoi and didn't have even a shmir prusa, and that is why Reuven will be chayiv to pay mashezeka. But for example, if once again Reuven's animal would be walking next to the gina of Shimon and would would fall into the Gin of Shimon, or if Reuven made a Shmir Prusa, and even so the animal escaped and went and damaged the field of Shimon, then Reuven would still only pay Mashin Enes. However, Rav Papa tells us that Rabbi Yechonon actually holds El Kivin Shiyatza Ladas, that once the animal leaves the Rishus of Shimon and the owner knew about it, Afal Pisha Chazu Shalai Ladas, and even if Reuven created a Shmir Prusa, and therefore in general that would be a good enough Shmirah to protect that the animal should not leave his Rishus, even so, if the animal would get out of that Shmir Prusa and would go and damage the garden of Shimon and damage the Pirus of Shimon, then Reuven would be chayav to pay Mashazeka. And the Gemara is bothered that since we're talking about the Hezek of Shein and Lumaisa Benegay the Hezek of Shein, we know that the only requirement is to have a Shmir Prusa. So L'chayr, if Reuven guarded his animal with a Shmir Prusa, why should it be chayav? And the Gemara explains, my time and what's the reason? The Amalei, because Shimon says to Reuven, Kivin the Alpha, that since this animal already learned that I have good Pirus in my garden, Kal Emes to Mishtamta L'chasim Rata, that certainly if it'll escape from your Rishus, it's going to go and run into my Rishus, and therefore you had a chiyuv and a responsibility to guard this animal with a shmir mula, and since you only guarded it with a shmir prusa, therefore you're going to be chayiv to pay masha zeka. And the Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Yarda Kedaka, if Reuven's animal walks into Shimon's garden in a normal way, and therefore it wasn't an oinus, and then Reuven was pesheya, then zeka, and it damages Shimon's produce, mishalemis masha zeka, then Reuven's chayiv to pay based on the damages that he caused to Shimon, and not only masha nenis. And the Gemara will explain exactly how you calculate masha zeka, and that will be the Gemara on Amud Beis. But the Gemara starts off with the shayla, bar Rabbi Yemiya. Rabbi Yemiya has a shayla in a case where there was an animal that was pregnant, and Yarda Kedaka, and Reuven's animal goes into Shimon's field, and it goes in based on Reuven's pshia, the zeka b'meleda, and instead of eating the pirus of Shimon, it actually damages the pirus of Shimon based on its water breaking, and that causes the tefuah to become inedible. And Rabbi Yemiya asks, Ma'o, what would be the din? Do we say that l'maisa, the hezek of meleda, is an oinus, and therefore Reuven would be pata? Or do we say that l'maisa, he went in kedaka, and therefore Reuven was pesheya, and therefore Reuven should be chayiv? And the Gemara explains, I'll leave it in manda amet chalas b'shiv v'seif v'oinus chayiv loyti b'yalach, that certainly I don't have a shayla according to the manda amet that holds the chalas b'shiv v'seif v'oinus is chayiv, as certainly over here, even though it's true that the damage occurred through an oinus, but ultimately Reuven was pesheya by allowing his animal to walk into the field of Shimon, and therefore Reuven would be chayiv to pay masha zeka, ki to b'yalach, I'll leave it in manda amet chalas b'shiv v'seif v'oinus pata, my, according to the manda amet holds chalas b'shiv v'seif v'oinus is pata, would we say that this is a standard case of chalas b'shiv v'seif v'oinus, and therefore Reuven be pata? And as the Gemara now explains, mi amrino, do we say kibin tchlas b'pshia v'seif b'ainis, therefore he'd be pata? Or idilma, do we say hacha kulu b'pshiahu? Over here we consider the entire maisa of pshia, the kibin the kachazi, the kravel al meilad, as since Reuven knew that his animal was pregnant and was about to give birth, so he b'yalei l'anture ulastemuri begava, so Reuven should have made sure to take extra precaution and make sure that his animal doesn't get the pirus of Shimon dirty, and by the fact that he didn't do so, therefore Reuven's considered a pshia, even Benegea, the animal's water breaking, and therefore Reuven would be chayiv, even according to the Mandaba, that chalasa b'shiyah v'seifa b'ainis is pata. And we continue on dafnun chesam obeys, and the Gemara ends off and is not pushed to shayla Rabbi Yemiya, and the Gemara states, Teku. The Gemara continues and quotes from Mishnah, Ketzam Meshalem is Masha Zeka. We just stated that if Reuven was Pesheya and his animal goes into the field of Shimon and he eats the produce of Shimon, then Reuven would be chayiv to pay Masha Zeka. And the Mishnah asks, how do we calculate what he damaged? Now, with Pashtus, the easiest way to calculate what Reuven's animal damage is by seeing how much pirus he ate or how much tfuah he ate. For example, if the animal ate a bushel of tfuah, so we should see how much they sell a bushel of tfuah for in the marketplace. And l'chayr, that's the amount of money that Reuven should be chayav to pay to Shimon. However, as Rashi explained on Daf Nun Hayom Beis in the Mishnah, that this is certainly not the proper way to calculate the amount that Reuven would owe to Shimon. And as Rashi says, in Shamanas Arugal Vada, we wouldn't calculate the exact amount that the shor ate, mipnei shemafsid mazik, as in that case, the mazik would be paying a very high price, as we will give it the full value of the actual pears that he ate. And as we will see in our Gemara, the Torah states, and as our Gemara will state in a moment, and therefore our Mishnah stated that Shaman Beisab is a Sada, and Rashi explains that Shaman Beisab is a Sada, but we evaluate how much a Beisab in this field was valued at prior to the animal eating this amount of tua and this aruga and this row of tua, and how much it's worth at this point. And at this point, you're not paying for the full value of the pirus. As certainly a person that's buying a full besa and is missing only one aruga, he will not diminish the price by that much. And therefore, of course, by using this method of evaluation, it will actually benefit the mazik. mazik, as the mazik won't have to pay as much to the nizik. Keep in mind that although we just tried to explain what the Mishnah meant when it said sham beisaba isasada kama isiyafa v'kami yafa, but this is a very elementary understanding of these words, as we will have a three-way machlekes as to how to understand these words when we learn the Gemara further. And our Gemara now begins minani mili, that how do we know that instead of paying the full value of these payers, you're actually going to give a discounted price to the mazik? We would only have to pay based on a valuation of sham beisaba isasada kama isiyafa v'kami yafa. And the Gemara tells us amr masna da amr kra, as this is xeris hakasav, as the pasuk says ubiya b'steyacha, that this animal went and damaged Ruvain sada, and the Torah used the lashon that it was a steyachar, and therefore the Gemara learns melamin shesham al gav sada acha, that when you're evaluating how much Ruvain should have to pay to Shimon, you evaluate it based on a different field, and you don't evaluate the pirus by themselves, and instead you evaluate the pirus based on what a besa would have been worth prior to this animal eating this amount of tefuah from a besa, and then figuring out how much a person would pay for this besa if it's missing this aruga. And the Gemara continues and asks, how be a b'steyachar miboyle lafuka rishis rabim, that how could a masna say that we learned this din from a b'ya b'steyachar, if we already learned from the words of a b'ya b'steyachar that the only time that Reuven is going to be chayiv if he damages Shimon through the hezek of Shane is only if he went into rishis hanizik, but if he was in rishis rabim, then Reuven is going to be pata. The Gemara answers, im kein lichter rachmano b'ya b'steyachaveri, the Torah wanted to teach you a din that the din of Shane of Regal doesn't apply in rishis rabim, then the Torah shouldn't have said that he went and he damaged the sada of a different person. It should say the sada of chaveri, which would be much clearer, inami steyacha, or to say ubiya steyacha, my bisteyacha. Why does the Torah add in a base sheshamen al gav sadacha, and therefore it teaches us both the dinim? Number one, it teaches us the chiyuv of shem v'regel is only bisteyacha and not in rishis rabim. And number two, the pasuk is telling us milamin sheshamen al gav sadacha. And the Gemara continues and now asks for ima kula l'hachudasa, that maybe the pasuk ubiya bisteyacha is only come to teach you the din of Rav Masna and the din of our Mishnah, that milamin sheshamen al gav sadacha. And how do we know that it's also come to teach you that biya b'steyachar lafukar rishis rabim? And the Gemara answers, im kein lichter achmana gabi teshlumin, the pasuk wanted to teach us a din b'negei teshlumin, and to teach us only the din sheshamen al gav sada achar, then the Torah should have written these words b'negei teshlumin, and the Torah should have written meitu sadeo meitu kam yishalim b'steyachar lomel dekos rachmana gabi b'biyar. And why did the Torah write these words b'negei b'biyar, which is discussing the actual hezek that the behemah caused? That point of the pasuk, it's not discussing the amount of money that Reuven will have to pay to the nizik. The fact that the Torah wrote ubiya b'steyachar b'negei the hezek that Reuven's animal caused, therefore we see that we should learn both dinim out of it. Number one, we'll learn out sheshamen al gav stodacha b'negei the chiyuv of tashlumin, and number two, we're going to learn out the lafukar rishis rabim, that the only time that you have a chiyuv of shein v'regel is only when you ubiya b'steyachar, and only if someone else is sada, but not in rishis rabim. And our Gemara now continues that the Mishnah stated keitzah mishalemis mashe zeka shalom beisa kamoi siyafa v'kami yafa, and we already explained that certainly Reuven wouldn't have to pay for the full value of these payers, commissionim kabishuk. But the Gemara now is, hecha sheminon, maisa, how do we evaluate Reuven's responsibility? And the Gemara will bring three different shitas, and we'll read it inside, and then we will explain it. So the Gemara states, Om Rabbeis Rabbechina, Rabbeis Rabbechina first tells us, so b'shishim soyin, Rabbiane oma, taka b'shishim takavim, and chizke oma, kelach b'shishim klochim. And let us start by explaining the shita of chizke, as that is a simple shita, and chizke explains that we look at the amount of tefuah that Reuven's animal ate, and we evaluate the damages and the amount of Reuven's chayiv based on 60 times that amount. So for example, if Reuven's animal ate only one stalk, so we see how much a buyer would pay for 60 stalks, and then we would see how much a buyer would deduct if they were only buying 59 stalks. And when a Mishnah stated shama besa kama yisiyafa v'chami yafa, and it's mashma that we have some evaluation as some shaykhas to a besa, it is specifically discussing a scenario where Reuven's animal ate 1/60th of a besa, and therefore we evaluate the responsibility of Reuven based on the difference of what a buyer would pay for a field that is a full sar or a field that is 59/60th of a sar. And before we continue to discuss the shita of Rabbi Yisrael Bchina as well as Rabbi Yanai, let us point out that there are six kav in every sar, and we also know that a tarkav is treva kav or three kav, which is of course a half of a sar. And Rashi explains that both Rabbi Yisrael Bchina as well as Rabbi Yanai understood that we can't just evaluate the difference between what a person would pay for a beis sar with all its tefuah and what they would deduct from the purchase price based on the missing row of tefuah, based on two reasons. Number one, since a beis sar is a small parcel of land and it's only six kav, so even an ani that wants to own a piece of real estate will have the means to buy such a small property, and therefore the cost for the purchase of one beis sar will be unusually inflated, as of course there's a supply and demand situation. And number two, since if the animal ate a kav of tefuah, which is 1/6 of the beis sar, Sa'a, so it's a significant percentage of the Beis Sa'a, and the buyer would certainly notice this and definitely would deduct at least the full 1/6 or more of the purchase price. And of course, this will cause the Mazik to have to pay a much larger amount, and therefore, we definitely don't calculate based on looking at one Beis Sa'a. And Rabbi Yisrael Pnina therefore holds that there is actually a two-step process in evaluating how much Reuven has to pay for his damage. Number one, we evaluate how much a person would pay to buy 60 Beis Sa'a, which is much larger and it's a nice sized property. And of course, 60 Beis Sa'a equals 360 kav. And for example, a buyer may pay $6,000 for 60 Beis Sa'a, and therefore we would appraise each Beis Sa'a at $100. And if Reuven's animal ate 3 kav or half of a Sa'a, then Reuven would be chayav to pay $50 to Shimon as he ate a half of this Beis Sa'a, which was worth $100. And this method of valuation certainly is the best and cheapest method for the Mazik. And Ayin and Rashi, who's bothered that why do we need a two-step process if we just evaluate 60 Beis Sa'a, which based on our example is valued at $6,000, and since Reuven's animal ate a half of a Sa'a as he ate a Tarkav in our example, so Reuven would still have to pay $50 to Shimon. And Rashi explains that certainly if a person is buying 60 Beis Sa'a and is only missing a half of a Sa'a, which is less than 1% of the Sa'a, then it's not so noticeable, and the buyer wouldn't deduct almost anything from the purchase price, and based on this method, Reuven wouldn't be chayav anything at all to Shimon, and this is too beneficial to the Mazik, and therefore we need to make the Cheshbon based on one Beis Sa'a, and certainly the loss of a row in a Beis Sa'a is noticeable, and based on our example, Reuven would have to pay $50. And finally, let's explain the Shita Rabbi Yanai. The Rabbi Yanai agrees to Rabbi Yisrael Pnina that there is this two-step evaluation process, but he holds that we can't use a 60 Sa'a field as a starting point, as that is too large of a parcel, and only wealthy buyers can buy such a Sa'a, and therefore the value per Sa'a will be too cheap, and this will be too beneficial for the Mazik. Therefore, he holds that instead, we first evaluate what someone will pay for a Sa'a that is the size of 60 Takav, which is of course 30 Sa'a, which is exactly half the size of the field that Rabbi Yisrael Pnina used as his starting point. And once we know what a buyer would pay for a mid-sized field that is the size of 30 Beis Sa'a, then we figure out what the value of each Sa'a is, and Reuven would have to pay the difference between what the value of this Sa'a is with all its Tfuah, and what the value of this Beis Sa'a is now that it's missing this Tfuah. And for example, Rabbi Yanai holds that although when buying 60 Beis Sa'a, a buyer may only have to pay $6,000 or $100 per Sa'a, but when buying 30 Beis Sa'a, a buyer may pay $4,500 or $150 per Beis Sa'a. Since in our example, Reuven's animal ate 3 kav or half of a Beis Sa'a, so the fear of Yanai, Reuven would have to pay $75 to Shimon, which is of course more beneficial to Nizik than Rabbi Yisrael Pnina's method of valuation, where Reuven would only have to pay $50 to the Nizik. Now keep in mind that instead of Rabbi Yanai using the idea of Shishim Takavim, really, as we explained in our example, Rabbi Yanai could have spoke about 30 Sa'a, which is exactly the same amount as Shishim Takavim. However, as the Rambam says, that the reason why all these Manda Amrim are using an evaluation, which is always based on the number 60, is because we find the number 60 in many different cases in the Torah. For example, like we find B'negeya Bittel B'Shishim, and we also find B'negeya Truma, that the share is 1/60th. And the Gemara continues and we'll ask a kasha on all these three shitas. As Mesbe, we learned in the Braisa, Ochlo Kav Kabayim, if Reuven's animal ate a kav or 2 kav, in Oyim Tishalim Demeim, we don't say that they should pay the actual value of a kav or 2 kav that could be bought in the Shuk. El Reina Sekele Aruga Katana, we look at it as if there was a small row in this field, Umisharna Isa, and we evaluate it based on this field. And the Gemara asks, My Lab if Neasma, Braisa doesn't mention the number 60, and it's Mashma that we were just evaluating what a parcel of land would cost when this kav or kabayim was attached to it, and what a small parcel of land would cost when we remove the kav or kabayim. And of course, this is a question on all three mandamim, as all of them said that we have to look at each field based on a much larger volume and a larger field. In reality, this brisa doesn't seem like our Mishnah either, because our Mishnah definitely mentioned the concept of going and figuring out what a Beis Sa'a is valued at, and this brisa doesn't mention anything about a Beis Sa'a either. And the Gemara answers, Loi b'shishim, the inachnami, although the brisa doesn't state it, when it says El Reina Sekili Aruga Katana, it means that we look at it as if it's a small row that's within a larger field. And based on these three mandarim's different methods of evaluation, they would all have to plug this into the brisa, but ultimately it would work out, because as long as we say that it's based on shishim, then we would be able to figure out each one according to the Om Shat. And the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, and the Gemara will now bring a brisa which is very susum, and we'll read the brisa, and then we will see how Rav Papa explains the brisa, as the brisa states, In Shom and Kab and Pleish Mashbichai, V'loi Beis Kom and Pleish Apaidmai. And the Gemara asks, Maika Amar, what is the brisa talking about? And Amar Papa, Rav Papa explains, Hachi Kama, this is what the brisa means to tell us in Shem Kav Bishishim Kav and Peshim Ashpiach Mazik that if the animal Ruvain ate one kav of produce, we can't evaluate the damage that Ruvain is responsible for based on a 60 kav soda. As if we would use this method, then the mazik would gain too much. And as Rashi says, the shishim kavim in le mecha, it's very hard to find a buyer for a 60 kav field, which is 10 saw, as mepeshim ruben hilani, it's too large for an ani to buy, and muatan lebeni v'kolshkin l'usher, and it's too small for a middle class person to buy, and certainly an usher would not buy such a field. V'oyich in karachas kav nikeres b'shishim kavim, and also when you're looking at a kav in a 60 kav field, you won't be able to notice it that much. Therefore, for example, even if we would evaluate a 60 kav field that someone would buy it for $600, we would not say that for every kav, Reuven is chayiv $10, as certainly when a person's buying a 60 kav field and it's only missing one kav, he won't notice it so much and he won't deduct from the price that much, or he won't deduct anything from the price and he'll still pay the full $600, and therefore it'll come out that Reuven really didn't damage Shimon at all. And that is referring to a lower end scenario, and Rapapa continues, v'loy kor b'shishim kurim p'esha p'egamazik, and the Bryce is also telling us that if there's an animal that eats a full kor, and we know that a kor is 30 saw, we wouldn't evaluate how much Reuven is chayav to pay based on a field that is the size of 60 kor, as in that case, the mazik would lose out too much. And as Rashi points out, that since 60 base kor is such a huge field, therefore the only ones that could purchase that is only uber wealthy people. Since it's so rare to find such a large parcel of land that's for sale, therefore that person will want to buy it so badly that he'll even pay more than the standard value, and therefore when calculating the value of each saw, it'll actually be a much larger price per base saw. And Rashi continues, v'oid karachas kor gedoli himoid, if a field is missing a full base core, then that's a very large patch of land that is missing the tefuah, and certainly a buyer will deduct a lot of money from a purchase of 60 saw if he's missing a full core. Based on this evaluation, it'll come out that the mazik will have to pay a very large amount to the nizik, and therefore a papa is definitely stating that this price is going against the shita of Chizkiyah that said kelch b'shishim kochim. And as Rashi says, that a papa holds that the price is stating that kol saw sham b'shishin, that we have to look at every saw and evaluate it based on 60 times that amount. Certainly in the case where Reuven's animal ate a kav, then it's very easy to make the calculation, as we make the calculation exactly the same way that Rabbi Yisrael B'chino and Rabbi Yanei explain how to make the calculation. And in the case of the Braisa, where an animal ate a base kor, which is of course 30 times the amount of base saw, and if you are Rabbi Yisrael B'chino, we'd first have to figure out what the purchase price for 60 saw is, and then we would know that the value of one saw is 1/60th of the value of 60 saw, and then we would times that by 30 to get the value of a kor, which is of course 30 saw. And according to Rabbi Yanei, this evaluation would be much easier, as in this case, the animal ate an actual kor, which is 30 saw, and as Rabbi Yanei said, we always start with the valuation of a field that is the size of 30 saw. And the Gemara continues, Maskel Rav Huna Bar Manoach, so Rav Huna Bar Manoach asked the question on the Rav Papa's explanation, as Haivalei Beis Kor, Valei Kormi Boilei, L'chayra, according to the way that you explained the Braisa, so just like the Braisa stated, Ein Shomen Kav, and it didn't say Ein Shomen Beis Kav, so therefore, B'negei Kor, it should also use the same terminology, and the Braisa should have stated, Valei Kor, M'plei Shepaigmai, and why did the Braisa use the terminology of Valei Beis Kor, M'plei Shepaigmai? Because of this question, the Gemara explains, Elam Rav Huna Bar Manoach, Mishmei Rav Acha, Brei Rav Ika, Hachi Tani, this is what the Braisa means to say, Ein Shomen Kav, that if an animal eats a kav, so you don't go and evaluate the kav by itself based on the amount, then you could go and buy a kav in the marketplace, as by using this method, it will be too much of a benefit to the nizik, as the nizik will be getting full retail price, and as we said before, that's not the proper way to evaluate the damages that the mazik caused. And then the Braisa teaches us, loy kav beis kor mepnei shepoigim nizik, and similarly in a case where the mazik's animal ate a kav, you don't go and evaluate the damage based on a field that is the size of a base kor, as in that case, since a kav is such a small amount and a small percentage of the base kor, as a kav is 1/180th of a base kor, and certainly there'll only be a very small difference in the price that someone would pay in order to buy a base kor that has a full base kor, or if it's missing only 1/180th and it's only missing one kav. In that case, of course, the valuation will be to the detriment of the nizik, and the mazik would almost have to pay nothing to the nizik, and therefore that's not a proper way to do the valuation either. And instead, Ela B'shishim, the way to evaluate every single case is based on 60 times the amount amount that the animal ate. And with this explanation, it comes out that this brisa is actually going exactly like the shita of Chizkiyah, that the way we evaluate the damages is based on a kelach b'shishim klachim, and if the animal ate a kav, then we evaluate it based on shishim kavim, and if the animal ate a kor, then we evaluate it based on shishim kurim. Gemara continues with the story, Ahu gavra de kotz kazba mechavrei, there was a person that went and cut down a palm tree that belonged to his friend, Asal kamed reish glusa, and Shimon brought Ruvain to the reish glusa for dintara, a malay, and reish glusa said, l'didi chazili, that I saw this area, but flasa to also bikina havakaime, and there were three palm trees that were standing together, vavushavu meyazuzi, and all three were valued at 100 zuz, zil havli, plus a matilsa vatilsa, and therefore they told Ruvain that he's chayv to pay to Shimon 33 and a third zuz. And when Ruvain heard this psak, Omar, so Ruvain said, Gavi reish glusa, the doin din pasoi lomli, that why would I have to listen to reish glusa, who judges me like the dinim of pasoi and of the Persians? And as we know, at that time, the people in Babel were under Persian rule, and as Rashi says, that the reish glusa is judging me according to dinim pasoi, she'ina din tera, and not giving me a psak based on a din tera, and therefore I don't have to listen to them. So Ruvain went in front of Rav Nachman, a Malay, and Rav Nachman said, "Beshishim, that just like in our Mishnah we stated that we don't evaluate one item by itself, as that would give us too high of a price. Over here also, we can't evaluate based on three palm trees, and we have to evaluate it based on shishim." And of course, the pashas of what Rav Nachman is telling us is that he's saying exactly like Chizkiyah, that when you have a kelach, you would actually evaluate it based on shishim klachim. And over here also, we'd have to look at it as if there's a field that had 60 palm trees, and we would evaluate what a person would pay to buy a field that has 60 palm trees, and what a person would pay to buy a field that has 59 palm trees. However, the Mefarshim explained that we could even explain Rav Nachman according to Shita Rav Beis Vechrino and Rav Yanai, and Rav Nachman just means to say that we use the 60 times evaluation that we mentioned previously. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rava, so Rava said to Rav Nachman that I actually agree with the Reish Galusa, because in Amru B'Niskei Mamein, just because we said this concept of Shishim B'Negei Niskei Mamein, and in the case where Reuven Shar damages someone's payers, Yomu B'Niskei Gufay, do we think that we'll use the same evaluation even when Reuven himself damages someone's payers and damages someone's tree? And certainly we always find that there are chalukim between Adam and Mazik, where for example we know that Adam would loilam, and we also know that a person's chayav b'dalad varim, since we are machmer by Adam more than the case of a behema that's Mazik, as when a person's mamon is Mazik someone, then we have kulais, and certainly he's not always going to be chayav, and even when someone is chayav for the hezek that his mamon does, but he's not going to be chayav for dalad varim, and he's only chayav for nezek and not for tsar ripu shavas and baishas, and therefore the reish glusa is correct that we have to look at this tree based on where it is, and since all three trees were worth 100 zuz, therefore we don't discount the price for Reuven, and Reuven has to pay the full 33 and a third zuz to Shimon. The Gemara continues, Amalei Abaye l'Rava, Abaye will now ask Rava that l'chira your svar is incorrect, and l'chira of Nachman is correct, that there is no difference between hezek that your mamon causes or hezek that the person himself causes, and we always have to use the method of shishim. His raya against Rava is as follows, as my daitech, what is your svar to say that there would be a chil between niskei mamon and niskei gufay, and where would you have a raya from? The Tanya, as we have a brisa that says, hamav ki karmi shel chaver yismada, if someone destroys the unripened grapes of a person's vineyard, then we look at the vineyard as how much it was worth prior to the unripened grapes being damaged, and how much the field is worth at this point. This brisa doesn't mention anything about shishim, and it must be that the reason why the brisa doesn't mention shishim is because we're talking about Adam and Mazik, as this person went and destroyed the vineyard of his friend. Therefore, Abaye says it must be that you wanted to bring a raya from this brisa, and from this brisa was muchach that benegeya Adam and Mazik, we wouldn't say that we evaluate based on shishim. And Abaye will now ask on Rava the lemaisa. I'll show you another brisa which will take us to Amud Aleph, and on this brisa we will see that even in a case where it is an animal that's damaging someone else's produce, that the brisa doesn't mention anything about shishim, and even so, certainly by a behema, it has to mean that you evaluate based on the method of shishim, and therefore, even in the brisa that we just mentioned, which is talking about Adam and Mazik, and it doesn't mention the concept of shishim, really the brisa means to say that we're going to be evaluating based on the concept of shishim, and that's what the brisa means when it says, Reina is a kamo yofa kainul kain, the kamo hu yofa la'achim ikan, based on the concept of shishim as well. And we will read the entire brisa very quickly. And the main point that we have to take away from this brisa is that the brisa is talking about a behemoth that's being mazik someone's payers, and the brisa doesn't mention the concept of shishim. And certainly we will have to explain that the brisa certainly means that we're going to use the method of shishim, as that is the proper method to evaluate how much Reuven would pay when his animal damages someone else's tfuah. And when we learn Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, we will see in a further explanation explanation on the entire braisa. And the Gemara continues that Abaye stated to Rava, do we not find that Benegia Behima? We also find a braisa which doesn't mention Shishim, and certainly it means to say that we're going to evaluate based on Shishim. The Tanya, as we learned to the braisa, if a Behima went and cut down a young tree of Shimon, Rabbi Yasi states, Admon and Chanan ben Avshalom, which are brought in Masechtas Ksubas, who were called the Gozer Gzeiros of Yishlayim because they would make set amounts that people would have to pay for different things, and this was one of the things that they made a knas on. And they said that the minimum amount that the Mazik would have to pay is Netiyah Bashnasa Shtei Kesef, that if this young sapling was a year old, then they would pay 2 Kesef, and Bashtei Shanim, and if it was 2 years old, then the Mazik would have to pay at least 4 Kesef. And the Braisa continues, Achol Chazes, if the animal Ruvain ate Chazes, and Rashi says Shachas, it's referring to grain that did not yet fully mature and did not yet fully grow. So there's machlekes between Rabbi Yisrael Glibi and Chacham. Rabbi Yisrael Glibi Oimer Nidum Meshuyah Shabai. Rabbi Yisrael Glibi says that we look at how much the rest of the field will grow to, and then we will say that likely this chazus would have grown to that height as well. And therefore, the mazik doesn't only pay based on what his animal actually ate, but he pays based on the future potential of this chazus. And as Rashi says, Reyin Sanoisel Fim Ashitala Kala Ruga Veruga Bimea Katzer Umeshalim, and then we will pay based on that size. And Ayin and Taisis Andapnum Tesum Nalav, that Tais points out that according to Rabbi Yisrael Glibi, after the behema ate his chazas, there was a major storm and it causes destruction to this entire field, and none of the other tfua actually make it, and it doesn't actually completely grow. Then it'll turn out that Reuven actually doesn't owe any money to Shimon, as Lemaisa we now see that Reuven's animal did not actually cause any damage to Shimon. And the Gemara continues with Chamayim, and Chamayim argue on Rabbi Yisrael Glibi, and they say, that we look at this sada and we see how much it was worth together with the shachas and how much it's now worth when it's devalued based on the fact that this animal ate the shachas. Keep in mind that we already see that the Chum don't mention anything about shishim, even though we're speaking about an animal. The Braisa continues on Daphne Tesamad Alf, Achl Smada, if the animal of Ruvain ate Smada, and Rashi says, Anovim Dakin, we're talking about very small grape, Baschalosan, when it just starts to sprout, La'ach Shaparchum Yad, after it budded. And once again, in this case, we have a Machlekis, Rabbi Shua says, Roin Isan, Ki Iluhin Anovim Oimdisli Batza, we look at these grapes as if they were full-fledged grapes, and therefore Reuven would have to pay based on these being full-fledged grapes. And we once again evaluate the sada based on a full sada that had the smada, and how much a buyer would deduct based on not having the smada in the field. And once again, the Chum don't mention anything about shishim. And Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, says the name of Rabbi Shimon, when do we say that you would pay based on kama yisiyafa v'kama yafa bizman she'achlo l'lovi gafanim v'yichuritenim, when Reuven's animal ate shoots of grapevines or shoots of fig trees, and this is an earlier stage than smadar. And as Rashi states, hashkelus nira b'chanitza gafanim v'nikra v'adayin loy parach lias hanavim gemurim, that we're already seeing the shoots of the grapes, but we don't actually see the actual pre v'hululav, and that is referred to l'lovi gafanim v'chein yichur b'tenim. And when discussing te'inim, if it's at that same stage, it's called yichur. However, zok Rav Shimon ben Yehuda aval ochlo pagam ay b'isa, but if Reuven's animal ate pagam, which is staged by figs, or it ate b'isa, which is staged by grapes, then Reuven will be chayiv to pay to Shimon based on fully ripened grapes and based on grapes that are ready to be harvested. And similarly, b'negeya te'inim, that we would look at it as if these are figs that are ready to be harvested and are fully ripened te'inim. And Abaye now continues with his raya against Rava, as Tani Mias, that will amice in this price that we learned, b'negeya an animal that damages the pears of Shimon, the chamayim reina yisei kamayi yisiyafa, the chamayi yafa, for like Tani b'shishim. And the price doesn't mention anything about shishim, and certainly it has to be talking about a method with shishim, because we saw that there are 3 madamim that all hold that we have to use the method of shishim, elamayis l'chomeim b'shishim, and therefore we have to explain that even though the Braisa doesn't mean shishim, certainly the Braisa means to say that we're going to use the standard method of evaluating based on 60 times, and therefore hachinam b'shishim, even the Braisa that you have regarding an adam where it doesn't mention anything about shishim, certainly it means to say that you have to evaluate based on shishim. Therefore Abaye says to Rava that the Reish Galusa was incorrect, and Rav Nachman is correct, that even when a person was mazik another person's palm tree, that the way we would still have to calculate how much Reuven owes to Shimon is still based on calculating based on 60 times, based on either of the 3 manda umrim, and we will stop over here.